Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Blowski, and everything sucks. Something that sucks, I'm very sorry. Apparently, they started to start the whole show. They started to start the rampage with the women's match. So here's a quick cliff notes. Hikaru Shida pinned the Viva Vane. There you go. That's a quick cliff's notes of what happened in the first match of the night. Hikaru Shida beat Viva Van. Now we have our triple threat tag match. That was a great promo by the amazing and becoming more amazing every week, Harley Cameron. So that was nice. There's a few things to talk about. About SmackDown, as we watch the Infantry versus the Dark Order versus the Undisputed Kingdom. Listen. Everything's going to be kind of out of order because I didn't take any notes and Sean didn't give us a rundown. So I'm going to save all of the Bloodline stuff for the end. And talk about that all at once. And I'm going to start with the thing that made me the most angry about the entire night. And I'm sorry to be pedantic about it. And I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Fuck being sorry. If Roman Reigns doesn't have to be sorry, then I don't have to be sorry either. I understand that for reasons that don't make a lot of sense, at this point in wrestling, the pile driver has been banned from WWE for many years. I know that it was a pile driver that broke Steve Austin's neck. That was a fluke. There are so many moves that are way more dangerous than pile drivers that have not been banned. They did not, for instance, ban belly-to-belly suplexes on the outside after Ridge Holland broke the neck of Big E. They didn't ban that. They could have just as easily banned former rugby players from the UK who have no business being in a wrestling ring until they have a lot more time in a training ring under their belt. They could have banned that, but they didn't ban that either. They banned the pile driver. So when there's a brawl in the ring because Randy Orton calls Kevin Owens to the ring, and during the brawl, after being separated, Kevin Owens picks up Randy Orton and does a Dax Harwood transitional move to him. And they have to carry Randy Orton out on a backboard, on a stretcher. Put him in an ambulance with Cody Rhodes, who's the best friend of everybody. And they have to go to a local hospital to make sure that Randy Orton's neck isn't broke. And if I turn on an average episode of Dynamite, I see 7 goddamn pile drivers and nobody's neck is broken. They are betting the farm that everybody who watches SmackDown does not watch any other wrestling. And I'm sure that is the case for the rubes who only watch SmackDown. But there are a lot of people who watch a lot of wrestling and know that a pile driver is a move, just like any other move. It can be taken poorly, it can be delivered poorly, it can certainly, yes, result in injury. But for Michael Cole to be like, oh my God, Kevin Owens gave Randy Orton a pile driver, won't somebody please think of the children? You can fuck right off and go to hell. So yeah, I'm still haven't processed my rage from Tuesday. So that might come out a little bit tonight. I'm sorry about that. That much I am sorry for. I Mariah May wins literally every single one of her fucking matches, except for the most recent one, I guess, with a short pile driver, which is more dangerous than the kind pulled off by Kevin Owens. Like the most recent pile driver besides the one that shoot broke Steve Austin's neck, the kayfabe pile driver that looked the worst was Jerry Lawler doing it to Andy Kaufman, and that's because Andy Kaufman did not have any muscle in his neck to like combat the gravitational forces pulling his entire spine down. Kevin Owens has done so much worse to so many different people. A lot of this is also not helped by the fact that I still don't fucking understand why Randy Orton is so mad. I mean, I do now, I guess, but he strides to the ring and like, I'm done with this shit. Kevin Owens, get your ass out here now. And again, you decided to like take Cody Rhodes' side in a dispute between Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes. And, well, Kevin Owens didn't take that too well. And honestly, I think he let you off easy. Because a single rabbit punch to the back of the head and some jumpy, hoppy wrestler stomps is not enough to incur the wrath of Randy Orton. Randy Orton has had so much worse done to him. Randy Orton has done so much worse to so many fucking people. Why the fuck am I supposed to believe Randy Orton would be this pissed at Kevin Owens to do all of this shit to lead to the moment where Kevin Owens apparently broke Randy Orton's neck? Randy Orton, who hasn't been putting on pounds and pounds and pounds of solid muscle over the last 18 months. That man's neck is just, it's a twitching mass of trapezius muscle fibers. There's no way a pile driver would break that man's neck. You fucking kidding me? But I gotta hear Michael Cole go, this is a very somber situation here. There's a reason that move was banned many years ago in WWE. And honestly, Kevin Owens has done some heinous things in his time, but this takes the cake. All that fucking shit makes me want to fucking vomit. So yes, again, apparently working through some rage issues right now, and I do apologize for that. Well, yes, Andy Kaufman did have respect for the business. It's true. Yes, in front of the Buffalo Bills, how could you? Also, this is fun because my sister-in-law was over while I was watching. And she and my sister had walked into the room as they were putting Randy Orton on the backboard. And she's like, oh my God, is he okay? And I was like, yes, it's all fake. I mean, I know it's fake, but the injury that he suffered is fake. And because she used to work as a paramedic. And he's like, no, it's all fake. It's totally fake. As I was going to say, they didn't strap him down to the backboard right. Yeah, they didn't do that because most of these paramedics aren't actually paramedics. And it's really difficult because my daughter thought he was seriously injured. They're putting him into the ambulance, Daddy. They wouldn't do that if it was all fake, if it was all pretend. Yeah, they would. I mean, they're doing to him precisely what they would be doing to him if it was real. So Undisputed Kingdom pinned the Dark Order to win this little thing here. Twitching mass of trapezius muscle fiber has me on the fucking floor. Thank you, Harlequin. I appreciate it. I appreciate you being on the floor. That's my aim, I guess, with all of these things. Oh, here's Lance Archer coming in from behind. I'm sorry, it's impossible for, like, you can try and turn Roddy Strong babyface, and I'll buy it because I love Roddy Strong. But you're never gonna get me to be like, oh no, stop hurting Matt Taven. Matt Taven doesn't deserve this. Be nicer to Matt Taven. You're never gonna get me to feel that way. Honestly, after you hit this blackout on Matt Taven, pick him up and do it again. Pick him up and do it again. Then give him a drill claw and then do a when your double team choke slam powerbomb move. Do more hurtful things to Matt Taven. Please. No, don't do the double team move to Mike Bennett. Mike Bennett doesn't deserve that. Matt Taven, however, he fucking deserves that. All right, Lexi Nair talking to Roddy Strong. Roddy Strong still has the glasses but has shaved the mustache. Max hired the Don Callis family. Roddy Strong's not surprised. Yeah. Jake doesn't like Roddy Strong trying to make the Beast Mortos be a good guy. That's very funny. Beast Mortos versus Roddick Strong, is that what they're doing? That's funny. Roddy came out and cleaned house, but they didn't show it on Rampage. So, like, because Scott George was there in Manchester when they taped this on Wednesday. And so Roddy came out and cleaned house, but they didn't show it on Rampage because that's not the storyline they're giving. That's funny. That's very funny. Candice LeRae and Bayley had the first match of the night. It started about a half hour into the show. Which will tell you how fucking long the first goddamn segment was. Bayley beat Candice. They didn't mention Indy, I don't believe. Chat will tell me if I am wrong here. I don't believe they mentioned Indy Hartwell at all. Which is funny because they were a fucking tag team last week, and it would be weird if you were not plugged into the internet wrestling scene, to the IWC, or I guess IWS if I'm using scene instead of community. If you didn't know, like, you would be very confused because last week you saw Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae wrestle as a tag team, and this week it's just Candice and there's no Indy Hartwell, and there never will be again, and maybe you might have questions. Maybe you might have questions as to why that is, but they would never tell you that. They would never tell you that. Who is this Indy you speak of? Indiana Jones, the famous archaeologist / adventurer? No, not that Indy. A different Indy. Bayley beat Candice LeRae. Candice LeRae played possum, faked a leg injury, and Bayley turned around and I guess was waiting for Candice LeRae to run up and do the schoolgirl roll up behind her, and then because she was ready for it, she was able to counter it into a pin of her own and pinned Candice LeRae. So there's that. Backstage, Tiffy talking some shit to Candace. Candace talking some shit to Tiffany. Nia Jax comes up and says, Nick Aldis just told me we have a tag team match tonight against Bianca and Jade. Why did you set that up? And Tiffany's like, well, I thought if we beat them, we would get a title match against them. And then you could be a double champ and I could be a tag team champs. And she's like, okay, that's fine. And then they go out there and they have the match versus Jade and Bianca. And this is what's interesting about this particular match is that because it's Nia Jax in there, and also Tiffany's not exactly a smaller competitor, they were able to run Jade Cargill in peril, which is the only time that's ever going to work, because it was just Nia Jax basically sitting on her for a very long time, beating the hell out of her and just not letting her get up to make the tag. And when she finally did, Bianca ran rampant, went crazy all over the place. She ran rampant. She ran roughshod. She ran smoothshod. She ran all over the every way, which way you can run. That was how Bianca Belair ran. And then we got Candace coming out and shoving Bianca off the top rope. And then Tiffany being like, go away, get out of here. I don't want you here. I don't need your help. Go away. Nia's my friend, not yours. I'm very jealous of you, Candace LeRae. And I have to stop before I do my moonsault and tell you how jealous I am of you and that I don't want you at ringside. Go away. And she did it for such a fucking long time that Bianca was able to recover and then do a big move, hit a KOD on Tiffany and beat her. So Tiffany got to show how fucking stupid she is. That's always great. On a night when we're debuting, spoiler alert, we're talking for the first time about So here's the Vendetta promo. On a night where we're debuting the U.S. United States Championship title belt for the women, we have Candace having a match versus Bayley, where they don't mention the woman who was her tag partner for years who got released last week. And then they have Tiffany Stratton, a surefire future women's champion, looking as fucking stupid as I've ever seen anybody look. And a shenanigans-filled match for the tag team titles. I love the Vendetta. Get them one more member, and they'll be complete. It wouldn't hurt to have two more members, but I love the Vendetta. I think they're fantastic. All right. Top Flight in action. I didn't know about that. I didn't know that was on here. The only two matches I knew were on the show were the first two matches of the night. So. Hey, Nick Wayne and AR Fox is tomorrow. I knew about that one. That'd be great. So, now we get, Naomi, coming out and attacking Candace at ringside, setting up, Nia. Oh, not. Nia Tiffany, Candace versus the Queendom plus Naomi. Bianca and Jade and Naomi. So is this the women's War Games match? It is, right? Because they certainly don't have anything cooking over on Raw. It feels weird to me that they're going to do both War Games matches from SmackDown. Like, you're not building a single War Games match on Mondays? That feels weird. Does that not feel weird to anybody else that you would do the women's and the men's War Games matches from the same show? I don't know why that feels like a weird thing to do. But we get to watch Top Flight. Unfortunately, we have to watch Top Flight face Beef. I do not know what the deal is with Beef. I know it's what's for dinner, but I can't say that I enjoy any of his work as a wrestler. I haven't watched any of his stuff in ROH because I don't watch ROH. All I've seen him in AEW, and I don't get guys like this. Oh no, Beef couldn't catch Darius. That's too bad. Okay. They've introduced a women's title match. A women's title. They have not told us how that's being decided. They just showed us. It was a pre-tape. They didn't bring it out to the ring. They didn't, like, do the big voila, take the thing off in the middle of the ring, let the people in Buffalo go ooh and ah at the belt. But that's what they're doing. That's what they're so the women get a mid-card title on SmackDown. Does it float? Does it float to Raw, or is there going to be a women's Intercontinental title that Adam Pearce reveals on Monday? I have been asking for a women's mid-card title for the longest time. The problem I have with it is it is a women's mid-card title in the fucking WWE, so somehow the women's mid-card title, the U.S. Championship for the ladies, is all going to be all about Dominic Mysterio for some fucking reason. I have no faith in this company to do what should be done, which is to hold a 16-woman tournament, bring some ladies up from NXT to be in the tournament as well. Any woman who is not currently a world champion is eligible for that tournament, and you give them all 10 minutes in every single round, and you boil it down to the final four. And then the final match. And if you're doing everything that I say, and you won't, but if you would be, then Shayna Baszler would be your inaugural United States champion. And she would have an amazing 8-month reign. God, it'd be fucking great. But they're not going to do that. They're going to do some fucking battle royal. Or if they do a tournament, it's going to have four women in it. And the matches will be 16 seconds long, and fucking Maxine Dupri will be your inaugural United States champion. Again, sorry, I am still working through a lot of latent rage. Naomi should win it. Fine. I'm totally fine with Naomi winning it. You know who I'm not fine with winning it? Who's probably going to win it? Whoever that is. Whoever it is who's going to win it, I'm pretty sure is somebody I'm not going to like winning it. Because I don't get the things I want. Chelsea might win it. I love Chelsea. Chelsea will win it. If she does, it's going to be via Oopsie Daisy. Like, all of her matches are going to be roll-ups or, oh my God, I can't believe I won. That kind of a thing. They would do that with Chelsea. They would never allow her to be, you know, I don't know, an actual fucking wrestler. They would never let that happen. So even though I like Chelsea, I see the writing on the wall with how they book her. They gave her an I'm so stinky gimmick that lasted like 3 weeks. I do not have any faith in them to do the thing right. There you go. Tiffany should cash in right now. She should have brought the briefcase into the pre-tape with Nick Aldis and a referee in tow and just crack Nick Aldis on the back of the head with the briefcase and then give it to the referee and grab the United States women's title and run out with it. That would have been hilarious. Oh God. No, it's not. No, Charlotte would, Charlotte would stoop so low as to be a mid-card champion. I honestly don't believe that Charlotte will ever be a mid-card women's champion in WWE. I think she will only be a world champion. That's just how I believe she views herself and how they view her. Yeah, Nick Aldis did say this title will not be given. This title will not just be handed over. This title will be earned. I will not let you in on exactly how it will be earned, mostly because the people in creative haven't told me yet. But rest assured, this title will be earned. It will be the most earned. Of all things that have ever been earned, this will be the most. Combine. That'd be good, MD Macaroni. We're going to do a combine challenge for it. That makes sense. That's good. I like that. That's fine. There you go. Combine challenge followed by random qualifier matches and then a ladder match. That sounds like a good plan to me, and definitely not the exact same way that they crowned their first women's mid-card champion in NXT. So now we've talked about the women. Hey, let's talk about the tag division briefly. Very briefly, in the case of Pretty Deadly. We got Johnny Gargano coming up to MCMG and saying, "Hey guys, congratulations! It's how much I respect you guys. I'm so happy for you that you're going to be champs here on SmackDown." And I'm like, "Thank you, Johnny. That really means a lot coming from you." But now we got to go and get ready to face a clown down under. And then Tommaso Ciampa walks up and's like, "What were you doing? Why were you being nice to people you have known for 20 years?" You're not allowed to be nice to your mentors. Tommy Ciampa says, they have our titles, the titles we were screwed out of by the Bloodline and never even got a real rematch for. So what we're going to do is we're going to go out to the ring, we're going to beat Pretty Deadly, and then we're going to find MCMG and we're going to tell them that we're coming for our titles. And then Johnny Gargano was like, "Yeah, that's what we're going to do. That sounds good." And then they, had Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, but mostly just Tommaso Ciampa beat Pretty Deadly in 35 seconds. They absolutely murdered they flew in the world's biggest disco ball. This is a shoot, brothers and sisters. They flew in the world's biggest disco ball and hung it from the ring. Hung it over the ring. Like, from the rafters, giant fucking disco ball. So the Pretty Deadly could do their entrance. And then 35 seconds later, I'll bet you the final 1, 2, 3 came before they fully hoisted that giant disco ball all the way back up to where it descended from. My goodness. So they squashed Pretty Deadly. They squashed Pretty Deadly to send a message, I guess. Oh, here's Leo Rush coming out. Oh, does Leo Rush have a match next? Is that what this is? Oh, I guess so. He's walking out now, Leo Rush. Oh, Commander. That's nice. Okay. Oh, it's a rematch from last week. Okay. All right. I'm not against that. I'm not against them doing a little mini feud on Rampages. I like that idea. Okay. Okay. Yes, it does not surprise me that Leo had a really fun match against Mustafa Ali on the New Japan show tonight. Because Leo Rush's matches are usually very fun. They're usually very, very fun. So wouldn't be surprised by any of that. So Tommaso Ciampa. So MCMG. It takes them over 10 minutes to beat A Clown Down Under. And like, I mean, I'm sorry to make such declarative statements, but Pretty Deadly is a way better tag team than A Clown Down Under. And if you don't think so, you're wrong. So it kind of makes me upset. Like, I get why they have Tommaso Ciampa completely squash whatever team that they're doing, because they're doing this kind of a Black Heart Redux thing with Tommaso Ciampa, and either Johnny Gargano's going to get on board with this new version of DIY, or they're going to break them up. So I get why in a storyline way we're doing that, but I don't see why we're doing that to Pretty Deadly on the same night that A Clown Down Under gets 10 and a half minutes or more versus the current champions, because they don't fucking deserve it, and they never fucking have. Fucking break them up already. You've been teasing it now since fucking May. I don't know why it's taking you so long. Break up Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. Then after they're broken up, don't put them on TV anymore. Again, I'm really sorry. I have a lot of latent rage I haven't worked through. Haven't worked through all this latent rage. I really feel bad about it, but it's just a thing. I don't. Anyway, after MCMG finally got past A Clown Down Under, DIY came up to them backstage and said, "Hey, we're coming for those titles." And the Street Profits walked in and said, "Actually, no, we already talked to Nick Aldis. And next week, we have a tag team title match against MCMG," which feels like Tommaso Ciampa is going to ruin that. So we're going to get shenanigans in that tag title match next week. Like, that's kind of an obvious thing. I just want to make sure everybody else is on the same page with me that the shenanigans in the tag team title match next Friday could not possibly be more obvious. Good. I'm glad that we're all the same thing. Wonderful. Anyway. "100% I would buy I have latent rage SGS t-shirt. I'm working through a lot of latent rage right now, and I apologize." There you go. So, the Bloodline segment at the beginning of the show takes up for fucking ever and doesn't really do much of anything. Sami Zayn comes out. So it's just Roman and Jimmy, and then Jay comes out, and then he says, "Man, I just need you to hear him out. And Roman's looking at him like, who are you talking about? Who is the him you are talking about? When it's only one possible person it could be. Who the fuck are we thinking that Roman Reigns is thinking the him in I need you to hear him out is? Rikishi? Who the fuck is Roman Reigns supposed to think is coming out of that, coming down that ramp? It is Sami Zayn, of course. And when his music hits, Roman Reigns is like, oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Who the fuck did you think it was, Joe? Who the fuck did you think it was, Joe? 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 Joseph? Who did you think it was? Commander and Leo Rush, two of the fastest wrestlers on the planet. They're having so much fun running back and forth here. Obviously, Leo Rush has to get the victory here. Scott George, do not spoil it in the chat. But obviously he does, because I don't want to see Commander get the victory 2 weeks in a row on Leo Rush. So Sami Zayn comes out and cuts a very impassioned promo about how he runs down all the things. Man, wouldn't it be great if we were all together again having so much fun? But, you know, this time we're not fucking assholes. He doesn't say that part, but it's implied. Like, this time we're not fucking assholes. You know? Wouldn't it be great if, you know, we were all hanging out in the SUV, driving down the road, making the next town, and we were just, you know, hanging out, and me and Jimmy were working out our handshake in the back, and you're up in the front seat, Jay was driving, and the music was bumping, and wouldn't it be great if we were doing all of that, but this time we weren't bad guys? That thing is implied. But he's like, I think you still love me. Oh, look at that smirk. I believe you do. I will happily join you. Join forces with you. Team with you and Jay and Jimmy against Solo Sikoa and the new bloodline. But I need you to do one thing for me. Apologize. Roman's like, apologize to you? This is 18 minutes into the opening segment, by the way. Apologize to you? No. Not to me. Long pause. I don't need you to apologize to me. Longer pause. I need you to apologize. Short pause. To him. Long pause. I need you. Short pause. To apologize to Jay. And Roman takes a very long pause and walks up to Jay and says, I apologize. I apologize for thinking that you would even believe that I would give a bit of time to this guy. Why the hell is he even out here? He's not family. He's not part of this. And Sammy gets out of the ring and leaves. So Jimmy and Jay are mad at Roman for saying he doesn't need Sammy. And then backstage, that whole fucking thing took 25 minutes at least. So then that's how we opened the show. By the way, Larry Knight, LA Knight, defended his U.S. title against Carmelo Hayes and Andrade. Not on the show. Barely mentioned on the show. Carmelo not on the show. Andrade not on the show. See, when we give fully almost half the show, considering the opening segment, the stuff that happened in the middle, the little mini scene, and then the closing segment, when you give almost half the fucking show to the bloodline, it is the most important story in WWE, but it can't be the only important story in WWE, at least on SmackDown, but heaven knows you get a lot of fucking time to that shit on Raw, too. The bloodline is bleeding WWE to death. With all of the time, the investment just poured into the bloodline story, and only the fucking bloodline story It just becomes a lot, man. He says, Solo, come down here right now, says Roman Reigns. And then Jacob Fatu gets to cut a promo. And immediately I'm like, okay, well, they just showed everybody that Jacob Fatu is one of the most compelling promos in wrestling history. I'm not saying best. I'm saying most compelling. The way he just forms his sentences, his vernacular, his cadence, everything about the way Jacob Fatu cuts a promo. Oh, God, it's so fucking good. But he says, Solo will deal with you in his own time, if he even deals with you. Backstage, Jey Uso's like, hey, I asked you to give that guy some time and you wouldn't give it to him. Like, well, he's not family. Go find Sammy if you love him so much. Bye. And Jimmy's like, hey, man, what you doing with you? Well, then why don't you go find your brother then? So Roman hasn't changed. He's still the same fucking asshole he always was, which I guess is good for, like, the nuance of the story. However, for the fucking rubes who, like, why doesn't anybody like Roman? We're still getting big babyface reactions to Roman, even though he is showing you with his words and his deeds and his actions and the way he fucking walks. He's showing you with every breath he takes, I am still a heel. And the fucking rubes are like, yay, Roman Reigns! It's just like nuance is wasted on these fucking people. So, Roman Reigns is stewing backstage all fucking night. Finally, it's time for Solo to come out to the ring. And they gets down to the ring. And he barely gets out a sentence before Roman Reigns comes down to the ring. He gets his full fucking entrance all the way down to the ring, walking as slow as fucking possible. Finally gets into the ring. And says, are you going to acknowledge me? He's like, what do you think, Buffalo? Should I acknowledge him? Do you acknowledge him? They're like, no, fuck you, Solo. And then, by the way, there was just a pile driver in the little commercial for Dynamite. In the commercial for Dynamite, they showed a pile driver. I believe that was Daniel Garcia hitting a pile driver on somebody in the fucking commercial for Dynamite. In the commercial for Dynamite, there's a fucking pile driver. So, listen. He says, "I'm not gonna acknowledge you because I am the only tribal. Me and you, one on one, and the winner is the only tribal chief." And Solo has this a really great reaction. He's so much better than a lot of people give him credit for. His reaction is, "Ha, ha, ha, ha." What are you talking about, only tribal chief? I don't need to fight you. I'm the undisputed tribal chief. He doesn't say this. He says, I pinned you last Saturday. I already beat you. I don't have anything to prove to you. He doesn't say that. He says, obviously, all of these people already acknowledge me. And they all go, boo, 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 we don't acknowledge you at all. And he goes, obviously, these people are booing because they like me so much. They think I am their boo. Was that an Alicia Keys song? We got a really interesting Solo performance here. It was really excellent. He's like, man, if you could only find four guys in the back to face me and these and my guys, maybe we could go to war. Because, you know, we're all ready to go to war because, you know, it's not a game here, or it is a game. Maybe it's a war games. They were really like dancing around calling it war games, even though it wasn't war games. But then Roman's like, what do you mean four? That doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, why would I need to find four guys? There's only four of you. And Solo's like, one, two, three, four. And the fifth guy is my dog, Sami Zayn. And then Sami Zayn comes out and stands on the top of the ramp. And then they attack him from behind and beat him up. And then Jay and Jimmy run out. Sammy just stands there. Like, we're supposed to be like, oh my God, what a swerve. But then Jay and Jimmy run out and start trying to help. But so Jacob Fatu takes them both out without a problem at all. And then Solo calls for Sammy to come down and do a haluva kick to Roman, who is being held up by the back of his shirt by Solo. And then Sammy runs into a haluva kick to Solo Sikoa on purpose. And then there's a spear, a Superman punch, a spear to Solo, a Superman punch to Jacob Fatu, a haluva kick to Jacob Fatu, and they all stand there together, and they all put up the one-twos, they'll put up the ones. There's four of them. And like, they, apparently they were insinuating that you can't have war games unless it's five. I guess you could, but who are the fifth? It led, we got confirmation, I believe, via Sean Ross Sapp, that it's Lance Anoa'i has been signed by the company for a while. So maybe Lance is the fifth member of Team Original, Team Bloodline, Team New Bloodline. And the an Original Bloodline has to get a fifth guy. And maybe they're not ready to sign. They're not ready to do Cody versus KO at Survivor Series. And Cody is the fifth member of Roman's team. As I always suspected, that Cody would find a way to worm his way into to war games. Maybe that's how they do it. Yeah, Hikuleo, Tala Tonga. I believe that's how it is. Hikuleo might be it, but I don't want Hikuleo coming in as a good guy. Every member of the new bloodline should be a new member of the roster. I don't think a new guy should come in and join the old bloodline. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It should be all new guys. Like the thing about that Solo does so well is he's able to recruit brand new members to the roster and they join him, as opposed to Roman Reigns, who has to find his old friends to do it. Leo Rush pinning Commander with a frog splash in another amazing match for these two guys. Obviously, they got to do a third one next week, the rubber match. Maybe that'll also be a best out of seven. We don't know. So we'll see. We'll see how all of this goes. Anyway, I do appreciate you all letting me work through my latent rage. Oh, listen, MD Macaroni, I it might be Cody. There's nothing that says they have to. Kevin Owens, does it not seem like after tonight, after he hit the most violent maneuver in the history of WWE, doesn't it seem like they might suspend him for 30 days without pay? And if he's suspended, then they can't make the match with him and Cody. But that doesn't mean he can't find his way into War Games and attack Cody during War Games, even if he is suspended. So, MD Macaroni had a sour chat. Hold on, I'm going to find the sour chat. Hold on. I'm finding the sour chat from MD Macaroni. Here we go. All right, here we go. Let's see here. This is a disgrace. WWE is the absolute worst for what they did tonight. Where is Regal to announce War Games? Can you say War Games as if Regal was trapped in a broom closet singing it to himself? Can I say War Games as William Regal, trapped in a broom closet, singing it to himself? Okay, here we go. War games, war games, war War games. Thank you. There you go. All right. I hope that was satisfactory, MD. And we will see you all next Monday for whatever the hell they do with Raw. Until then, everything sucks.